Hello, good evening. It is Friday. It is just gone half past 7. We are a little bit late tonight. I do apologise. That is my fault. I've been a little bit tied up with a couple of other things this evening, but we are here. We are ready. It is the Arsenal Women's Show. It's a big show. A lot to look back on. Of course, that fantastic win last week against Leicester. Wow, what a game that was. Everything, didn't it? We're also going to look ahead. It's a busy week, isn't it? We've got a game, of course, on Sunday against Brighton in the league, and then on Thursday night away at Southampton in the Continental Cup. So, lots and lots to get through, lots to look forward to. And of course, we've got some great guests as always. And it'll all be coming up the other side of this. So we are here. It's Arsenal Women's Weekly. We have got, of course, Andreas with a fantastic background this week as well. Look at this. Fantastic. How are you this week, my friend?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Yeah, not bad at all. I invited Biff for the show tonight, and I said she is allowed to bring a guest. And so I think this is her guest now.
It's a very good guest to have as well, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's not a bad guest at all, is it? We'll accept her and our guest as guest on the show. They're both welcome, which is good. We've had some comments in already. Galadad says, you're late. Yes, I am late. I do apologise. Terry says, good evening, Richard. Can't wait to hear your excuse. Well, there's no excuse. I've been working on a video on my other channel, and I've been editing it and re-editing it and all that kind of stuff. And it took a bit longer than I thought. I wanted to get it finished because I didn't want it on my mind and bothering me. So I needed to get it finished, which I've done. So that's the reason. It's a poor excuse, I agree. But anyway, we're here now. That's the main thing, isn't it? Anyway, good to see you all in the chat. If you are new to the channel, please give us a like. Don't forget to subscribe. We are, I think, about 7 or 8 away from 2,000 subscribers, guys. So if you haven't subscribed yet, just to click on that button, get us a 2,000 tonight. That'd be good, wouldn't it? I was hoping before Christmas, but come on, we're that close now. We need to get it sorted. Of course, Amar will be joining us as well. And Amar time, of course, as always. So that's absolutely fine. But there's only one place we can really start, isn't there? After what turned out to be an incredible game, didn't it? Last weekend at Leicester. Wow. Now, of course, as we learned last week, Terry informed us that obviously the team in Jonas watched the show. So obviously last week on the show, they heard us say that we wanted a game where in the last 20 minutes we could be relaxed. We wasn't stressing about the result. And they kind of listened to us, didn't they? And they gave us that. The last 20 minutes certainly were nice and relaxed. But up until that point, it was actually very stressful. And that first half will go down as one of the most disappointing first halves we've had for a very long time. You know, we didn't play particularly well. We conceded 2 really, really poor goals defensively to give away. And it was looking at that stage, wasn't it? I mean, we were having conversations on the show here about how grim things were looking, how bad it was looking for us. Could we turn it around? I must admit, I always felt that we had the capabilities to do it. I thought if we could get a goal back fairly early second half, we had the quality to get the goals back. And I wasn't overly concerned. I would have been if it was still 2-0 after 60 minutes or 65 minutes. I would have started to be worried. But at that particular point, I was fairly relaxed, thinking, okay, yeah, the first half wasn't great. I'm sure we'll play better. I expected some changes at half time. He didn't make them, but we didn't need to because the girls came back. And that second half, certainly there was a spell of about 20 minutes where we were just, I know Leicester helped us, a very high line they played, and there were gaps everywhere and what have you. But the way that we played for a long spell in that second half was just, that's the best we've played for a long time. And do you think, Andreas, that maybe now is the turning point for this team? It's all started to click. Or do you think it was more Leicester being quite poor and giving us a lot of opportunities that we took?
Yeah, I hope that this will be the initial starting point for the season now for us. One thing I have to say, our girls are really good for giving us roller coaster of emotions. And not for the first time, but this time it was extreme. At halftime, I thought, no, really, the season is over. The title race is over. We are losing against Leicester. We are now a mid-table team. And it was the performance was not good. You couldn't say at halftime, we just had bad luck and normally we should have been 1 or 2 goals up. No. it was a bad performance, and we conceded sloppy goals, bad defending, and it was so as hard as it sounds, it was okay. The result was okay, and Leicester deserved to be in the lead. And what happened then in the second half? I think we all don't have an explanation. I hope Jonas and the girls have an explanation for what happened, especially in these fantastic 12 minutes from 49th to 61st minute, in which we scored four goals. From one moment to another, everything seems to click, everything seems to work. Just fantastic. What the performance in the second half was maybe the best in the whole season. Of course, Leicester is not the top team, but if you are 2-0 down and the pressure is really high, then bringing such a performance, scoring such brilliant goals, this shows quality and resilience, and yeah, fantastic. And I hope that this helps for the development for the whole season. I've never expected at halftime that we could win 6-2. If you told me at halftime, okay, we will go out with a draw, then I would have said, okay, where can I sign this? Let's take the point and forget this match. And winning 3-2, okay, yeah, let's have a nervy, tough win. Okay, but six goals in one half, fantastic. And was not just lucky goals or own goals or that the referee helped with decisions. No, we were the better team. And we normally, it should have been 8 or 9 goals in second half. Leicester was lucky. We hit the post, we hit the crossbar. Beth had a real big chance when she was one-on-one with Janina Leipzig. Normally she scores in this situation. So if it was 8-2 or 9-2, it would have been fully deserved. So fantastic second half. And yeah, we can build on this, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been quite frustrated with how the season started. You know, we've got a run going of wins, but we've not been convincing really in any game, have we, so far up until the second half on Sunday. We've kind of, you know, we've huffed and puffed a little bit. We've got through games and, you know, we've managed to get a few wins. But I say that second half for me, it just showed, one, the quality that we have, certainly in the attacking end of the pitch. You know, we brought players off the bench. You know, as you mentioned, Beth, she could have scored a couple of goals when she came on. Obviously, Stina came on, got the goal you'd expect her to get against in the way that game was going. You know, Lena came on, got a goal. And we just showed the depth that we've got and the quality that we've got in the final third. And yes, defensively, I'm still concerned about the way we're defending, the way we're conceding goals. But when you've got the attacking options that we have, it almost feels like, is that really going to be a major problem? If we concede one or two goals, we've got enough potential at the other end to score 6 or 7 or 8, as you said, 9 in one game, because we have got some of the best attacking players in world football. There's no question about that. Some, not all of them, and they're not all the very best, but we've got some of the best players, some of the best attacking players that there are in our squad. And when they click, as they did in that second half, I mean, it wasn't just the goals, that the fact that, you know, we got the goals back. It was the quality of some of them goals as well. I mean, Caitlin Ford's finish and the counter-attack, you know, brilliant ball from Alessia. You know, Alessia's goal as well, you know, crap defending from Leicester, yes. But, you know, the movement that she made, the touch and the finish, all of the goals, Chloe Lacasse's goal, the desire that she had to get in front of the defender, nick the ball away and score. You know, it's the absolute, you know, Stina's lovely finish, you know, first time finish into the corner. And all the goals were, you know, Lena as well gave the keeper the eyes and sent her the wrong way and tucked it in. And, you know, every single goal, there was something special about it, wasn't there? I mean, Vicky's goal, the counter-attack again, brilliant play from Chloe, could have scored but squared it across. It was just brilliant, brilliant football. And I don't think I've seen an Arsenal team for a very, very long time play as well as that for a whole half of football, and had that many chances to score so many great goals. It was an absolute joy to watch. And it's funny, isn't it, because if the game had been the other way round, if we'd played like that in the first half, gone 6-0 up, and then in the second half we'd played like we did in the first half, conceded two goals, we'd have gone away feeling disappointed. We'd have thought, oh, that wasn't great, was it, in the end? It's funny, when it's the second half you play well, you go away from the game buzzing and thinking, wow, whereas the result's still the same, isn't it? And it's better to play well in the second half, I suppose, because that's what sticks in your mind and that's what you remember about the game. But yeah, I mean, everything in that second half just clicked. Every single thing clicked. You know, the quicker we were passing the ball, quicker we were getting it forward, quicker the movement was great. Obviously, the quality in the goals, as we said, was great. It was just incredible, really, to witness that. It was, you know, everybody goes on about, you know, Chelsea being this good and that, this, that, and the other, right? And they're a very good team, but they don't play football like that. They score a lot of goals. They do. But they don't play football like that. We did in that second half. That was just incredible. And it was, and I hope, like you said, I hope it is a sign of things to come. And it is the start of this team really showing what we can do. Because, you know, we've had obviously Champions League this week, which we wasn't involved in when we should have been. We know we should have been. And we've had to watch other teams playing in that competition that should have been our place, you know what I mean? We've missed out. So I think that maybe there's something inside this team now that's going to want to put that right. And I think we saw that in that second half, you know. But were you surprised at half-time that Jonas didn't make some changes? He kept the same team. I mean, it worked because we played a lot better. But were you surprised he didn't maybe bring Steiner on at half-time or make other changes, Beth or someone like that, to come on and change me? Because he kept it the same, didn't he? Which I was quite surprised about.
This was really surprising. Yeah, I thought that at that moment at halftime, when the same team came out from the dressing room, I thought that this is a mistake. Why do we have such quality on the bench when we don't react? But sometimes, a manager sees more than we fans do, or he felt that there will be a reaction from the team. I don't know. Fortunately, he didn't make a change. He gave them the chance to do it better, and they did. Fantastic. And I think, of course, it helps when you're 2-0 down, you score an early goal and get one back. This helps that, you know, there is still time, enough time for the equalizer. So, yeah, but the way... We created the chances. The way we were playing, this was totally different. And this is something really astonishing and surprising. And you see, if you see the third goal, it was Caitlin, I think, who made the 3-2 for us. This was just fantastic. It was classy combination. And then the way she scored with this self-confidence, not just only trying to shoot the ball low. No, this was a difficult goal, but it worked, and it shows her quality and her self-confidence. And this goal changed everything. Then I think with being 3-2 up, the whole team knew, now we're going to win. It was not the question, will we win? Will we get a draw? We are going to win now, and let's score more goals. This was the feeling of you get from the whole team after we had the third goal. Fantastic, the combinations, and you can't say who was the best. It's just every player showed their quality. I think Chloe Lacasse had a great match, and the work rate from Alessia once again, and great that she scored. Stina coming in, scoring again, and I was happy for Lina Hurtig that she scored a WSL goal finally. I think this will help her too. She's a lot better than last season. She seems to be more involved in the match, integrated in the team. And great that she scored too. And it's just fantastic. And for Jonas, the best that could happen. You make a decision at halftime. You say, okay, I don't make any changes. I trust this 11 players. And it works. So it couldn't have been better for him. And for everything, for the whole team, for the connection between manager and players, that this worked in the second half. But please don't let us have such a first half again. I don't need this disappointment once again.
No, absolutely. I mean, the first half was very, very tough to watch. It was, you know, half time. We all felt down. I know we did. I was expecting at least one substitution at half time, at least one. I was expecting it because it hadn't worked in the first half. The team hadn't gelled. It hadn't clicked. No one seemed to be on the same wavelength as each other. We were all over the place. Our passing was poor. Our intensity was poor. We missed a big chance with Vicky, put it wide when she should have scored. And, you know, everything went wrong in that first half. And I was amazed when the team came out for that second half. But after the game, when I listened to his interview, Jonas, and he said about he sensed at halftime that they were going to put it right, that those players were going to put it right. And he gave them the chance to put it right. And they did. Within 10 minutes, we were 3-2 up. And it's like, you know, he must have sensed that in the dressing room. And to me, that's good management, because other managers may well have panicked at half-time and thought, I'm going to have to do something, made two or three changes or a couple of changes. And then, yeah, it may well have been the same result in the end, or it may not have been. But what he didn't do was he read the team in that dressing room, whatever he said to them, and he kind of read the way that they were feeling. And he believed that they could turn it around, and he believed in them. And I think that's a positive. Looking back on it now, it's a real positive sign. At the time, I was, you know, what hair I've got left, I was pulling it out, thinking, why have you not brought Steiner on? Why have you not made these changes at half time? But he did it the right way around in the end. They had the chance to redeem themselves. They did redeem themselves with some fantastic goals. And then the subs came on later and all made a big impact as well. So it's kind of happy days for everybody, wasn't it? And again, it just shows the strength and depth. Wayne's in the chat here, my friend. He said, I didn't see it happening at the time, because this season Leicester had only lost games by a one goal margin. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I thought a draw was our best result. Easy they did in the second half. What they did in the second half was phenomenal. Yeah, it was, exactly. Yeah, none of us could see that coming, could we? Absolutely not. You're absolutely right. Gunnar Dan says there, Man City to beat Man U this Sunday to get that gap from second would be nice. Yeah, I mean, what I think is going to happen this season, I think everybody's going to drop points. All the top teams are going to drop points. So other, not only the top teams, but also some teams lower down the league. We saw on Sunday how close we could have been to dropping points against Leicester. It's going to happen. Man City only beat them 1-0. So, you know, it goes to show, doesn't it, that the league now is so much more competitive. Dunagan says, I got it wrong as well. Apologies. It seems Kim Little will be back this week. Yeah, I know in the chat last week, Dan had said he thought Kim was out for a long time. I didn't really know what was going on with it, but it's good news if she's going to be fit for this week. That'd be great. Or next week would be fantastic. That's, you know, that's what we want to see, isn't it? Terry says, Andrea says you have Mido and Viv around your house for dinner tonight. Ask them, do they do it to entertain us and to get the late one fall into Jonas, the Arsenal God's trap, indeed. We can ask them that, yeah. Gunnar Dan says, entertain, almost had a heart attack. Yeah, I mean, we all nearly had a heart attack in that first half, didn't we? Dan says, Vivian Meadmire, Kim Little, Leah Walty, and Leia Cadena missed the game. Jen Beattie, yeah. And obviously, Leah Williamson as well missed the game. She's still injured. So, you know, Laura Wainwriter, all these players we've got out, and we still produce a performance like that. And we still have that depth on the bench that we had. What a squad we've got this year. And we've said it before, haven't we? It's how Jonas manages this squad this season, isn't it? It's going to be key, because, you know, there's a lot of players on the bench that should be getting more minutes on the pitch. And there's, where do you fit them in? You know, he's got to make those decisions, hasn't he? And when we've got everybody fit, when Leah's back, when the players that we just mentioned there, obviously Kim Little, maybe he's going to be back soon. Leah Walty won't be out for long. Obviously, Viv's back. She just needs a few minutes here and there. You know, Leia Cadena as well. Yeah. So all these players, he's got to try and find a way to make that work on the pitch. And, you know, that's what he's paid for. That's his job. But I don't envy him that, certainly with the depth that we're about to have when everybody's fit. I mean, it's almost, I almost feel as though our squad's almost too good, because you can't play all the players, and it's going to be, you're leaving players out that would walk into most other teams in Europe, and we're going to have them on the bench or not even in the squad because we've got too many players. I mean, it's a good situation to have, I suppose, from a fan's perspective, but from Jonas's point of view, it's going to be tough for him now, isn't it, to get his team, because if you keep making changes every week, it's not going to, I think you need some stability in your team, don't you? You need to keep picking a regular, you know, obviously make changes here and there, but you need a regular kind of partnerships in the team, don't you? And it's going to be tough now, isn't it, with these players coming back. What does Jonas do? Does he stick with this team that's playing now, or does he make some changes and get other players in? I mean, Viv, she's got to be getting some minutes soon, hasn't she, surely? I mean, she's, you know, she's on the bench, she's played a little bit here and there. You know, she's got to be due a lot more minutes in the next few games, doesn't she, surely? But who does he leave out?
Yeah, it's a luxury problem. And But I think the squad, this was all was done in together with Jonas. He wanted these players. He wanted more squad depth, and I'm really glad that he wanted a bigger squad. Just think, if Joe Montemurro was still our manager, we would have 14 or 15 players in the squad, and then have such an injury crisis like last season. Terrible. I remember last season when, the end of last season, it was quite clear which 11 players will start the next match, because we only had 11 or 12 professional players left. So this year it's fantastic to have this depth in the squad, but of course it must click together. And this is still a process, and we are still in this process. But you see, we had we scored 6 goals by 6 different players. This also shows the depth and the quality, and the problems or the difficulties for our opponents. Every player in the Arsenal shirt is able to score. That's a fantastic sign. We don't rely on only one player. And if this one, like 3-4 years ago, it was always Biff to score. In if it's it was nil-nil, then if Biff doesn't score, then we won't score a goal, then we can't win. Now this year, it's Alessia, it's Chloe, Caitlin, Beth, Vicky, Frida, everybody is able to score, and this makes it so difficult for the opponents. And it's fantastic to have this choice. And of course, you need a regular starting 11. We have the Continental Cup, and in January we also have the FA Cup. Of course, it's difficult because all the players want to start in the WSL, and everybody knows if I'm a regular starter in the Conti Cup, maybe I'm not first choice. This is one thing that's good that we are not in Champions League, because everybody would want to start in Champions League. And if I'm not a regular starter in the 6 Champions League group stage matches, then I'm not first choice. This would have been more difficult. And so, it's difficult for the manager, but it's a luxury problem to have players like Beth or Viv coming from the bench. And now we had Kim and Leah out with hopefully smaller injuries. But 1 year ago, we said without Leah and Kim, it's a totally different team, and we can't expect the team to win. It's heart and soul that we're missing. And now we bring in Kyra, we bring in Vicky, and everything works, although that's just fantastic, and I'm really happy about the big squad. We need every player during the season if we really want to be competitive in all 3 competitions we are in. Then we need every player.
Absolutely we do. And I mean, we've got a squad that was put together for the Champions League, I think. And obviously, and we didn't make it. So we've got now a squad that, as I said, I think the squad's maybe almost too strong for the competitions that we've got left to play for. You know, if we was in the Champions League, it'd be ideal, because you can rotate, you can do what you need to do. But yes, it's maybe going to be slightly harder. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a good situation to have, I guess, from our perspective, because what it means is we've got a lot more chance of winning a lot more games because of the quality players that we've got in the team and on the bench. So it's looking good. But yeah, I feel a bit sorry for Jonas to have to make those decisions. But like you said, he picked these players. He wanted this squad. So he's got to manage it now. That's his job, isn't it? He's got to get the best out of the squad. So far, he's maybe struggled to get the right blend, the right balance throughout the team. I thought I wanted to mention Kyra Cooney-Cross, because I thought she was brilliant, wasn't she, against Leicester. Even in the first half, when we wasn't playing particularly well, she didn't do anything wrong, did she? She was getting the ball, she was passing it, she was trying to win tackles in there, and she was doing what she had to do. Of course, in the second half, when there was a little bit more space opened up, you could really see her quality. And, you know, there's been people on the show that have been put comments in saying they wanted to see, Kyra in the team and playing because of how good she can be. And I think she showed, didn't she, in that game, that you know, we don't need to worry now, do we? If Leo Walty's injured, if Kim Little's injured, we used to panic and think, what do we do? We've got no one else. But now we've got Kyra can come in. Vicky as well played in that deeper position, obviously, because Leo and Kim both were missing on Sunday. And I mean, both of them were brilliant. But I thought Kyra, for her first start in the WSL, what a game she had. She was brilliant, wasn't she?
Yeah, and 21 years young, such a talent. And yeah, she did on Sunday what she did at the World Cup for Australia. She was one of the best Australian players and one of those young players that attracted attention from every big team in Europe. So I'm really happy that we have signed her and that we didn't wait until the January window. I don't know whether we would have got her. It's great to have her and that we could give her time to settle now. With the Conti Cup match last week and the Leicester match, she seems to have settled in the team, and she's accepted. She's a part of the team. Jonas explained that she had minor injury problems or smaller problems. That's why he didn't play her before. So this performance, just fantastic. And once again, she's 21. So she has all the future in front of her and still so good at the ball with such a good eye for the other players, her passes, the way she keeps the ball and then she makes the right decisions. It's just fantastic to have such a player in our squad. And the other name you mentioned, Vicky Pelova, she's better from every week. And I think I said last week, I can't remember that she had a bad match for us since she signed. And it's getting better and better. She shows she played on the wings, she can play central, she can play the offensive part in midfield, she can drop deeper. Vicky, I think she's 23 or 24, also such a big talent. And great that she scored a goal in second half, because she missed this really big opportunity in first half where she had three chances to pass the ball and she made the wrong decision to try it by herself. So it's good for her self-confidence that she scored in the second half. But anyway, she proved how important she is for the team. And yeah, Kyra, Vicky, fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, it's what I liked about him on anything was the fact that, you know, that was the one area of the team, wasn't it, that we felt was maybe we didn't have enough players for that area of the team in midfield. And now with those two coming in and doing such a great job, like you said, yeah, Vicky's been great since she's joined us. You're right, I agree. She's not had a bad game. And now it looks as though Kyra's coming in and she's hit the ground running and she looks like she's going to be a hell of a talent as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's all positive, isn't it? You know, we've had a few moans, haven't we, the last few weeks? You know, although we've been winning games, we've been a little bit frustrated with how the team's been playing and, you know, things that haven't been working and we've been struggling a little bit to get the results. And suddenly this week, it all feels a lot more like it should do, really. You know, we're kind of happy and we're excited now about where this season can go. And, you know, as fans, that's what you want, don't you? You want to be able to think that the team got a chance of winning some big trophies. And looking at this squad, looking at the way it all gelled on Sunday evening at the end, then, yeah, I'm feeling really optimistic that we can win a little bit of a bigger trophy than just a Continental Cup this season. That's what I'm feeling at this moment in time. But it's still early days, isn't it? And lots can still happen. So we're not going to get too carried away. Terry says there, Andreas Mido and Viv keep pulling funny faces behind your back. well, we'll let them off. They're allowed to, aren't they? That's fine. You know, they're fine. We don't mind. They can do what they want. Gunnar Dan says, anyone want a Maltese? All Maltesers, yeah, we'll have Maltesers. Get the Maltesers out. We'll share them around. That's always good. Don't let Mido and Viv have them, though, because they need to be careful for the weekend, don't they? I suppose the odd Maltese is not too bad. They're quite light, aren't they? So they'll probably be okay. So that's fine. Gunnar Dan says, conceding goals every week. Yeah, we are. We are conceding goals every week, and that's still a worry. But if we can score and attack in the way that we attacked in that second half, I don't care. We can concede four or five goals. We'll keep scoring seven or eight. It doesn't matter. We just win the games. It'll just be more exciting to watch, won't it? But no, you're right. Successful teams, I think Brian Clough said it or lots of managers said it, but Brian Clough in particular said that, you know, you win trophies by keeping clean sheets. That's how you win stuff, you know, and that's the basis of any team. And I do think that's something we've got to improve. We've got to concede less goals. We've got to work on that. And we've got to be less vulnerable to crosses into the box and set pieces and whatever. And we've got to defend all that better. And if we do, then there's no reason to doubt we won't win a lot more games because, as I say, we're going to score goals. So we don't need to worry too much about that. But, yeah, you're right. Defence is important, really important part of the game. And we do need to improve. Absolutely, we do. And I was disappointed in that first half, the goals that we could – there were two terrible goals to concede, let's be honest. They were. We'll let them off this one game because of how well we turned it around. But realistically, in the WSL nowadays, in this day and age of how strong it is, we can't afford to concede two goals every week and expect to win because we're not always going to score 6 and 7, 5 goals, are we? We're going to not be able to do that. So, Dan says, if I eat any more, I'm going to be sick. Well, no, don't eat them all. Share them around. Like I said, you know, we'll all have some. And we'll even let Mido and Viv have a couple as well. That's fine. Terry says, cheers for the offer, Dan, but I'm having a pork pie. Oh, a pork pie is fine. That's as long as you're having something to eat, that's the main thing. Morpheus says, how many leagues does Arsenal women have and who has the most? Oh, well, Arsenal won the most. If you mean who's won the most, Arsenal won the most. And no one's going to catch Arsenal anytime soon. I think we've won, is it 14? Is it 14?
Yes,
14 isn't it? Yeah. 14 league titles, yeah, 15 FA Cup. So, yeah, we've won the most. We're the most successful women's team in history, or in English history. So, yeah, and we're a long way in front from anybody else. And, you know, we've had a little bit of a quieter spell, haven't we, in recent years in terms of trophies. We've not won as many in the last 3 or 4 years as we were used to. And it's been a little bit more difficult, harder to come by. But I'm sure that we're on the way back now, aren't we? Looking at the squad that we've got and stuff like that. And obviously we won a trophy last year. So let's hope that's the start of it. Terry says conceding goals, it's called Guna Girls exciting. As well, it is. But maybe don't go 2-0 down too often just because it's not really a good idea, is it? Morgan says we need a UEFA Champions League. Well, we've got one. We're the only English team to win one. But I agree, I'd like another one, absolutely. You know, we were close last season, but I would like another one. But we've got to get in it, next, haven't we? Next season, we've got to be in the Champions League. And then with the squad that we've got, no doubt we'll add players as well, players back fitness next year, we can have a real go at it, can't we? And let's hope. But let's get this season. Let's enjoy this season first, because there's a lot to enjoy, I'm sure. And talking of lots to enjoy, we have got he's looking like a cowboy.
Finally, I knew it was going to be half an hour late, but there you go. Yeah.
No, that's fine. You know, Terry was, Terry was just on about you there. He said, "Look," he said,
"Yeah, I knew he was. I knew." In the back of my mind, I'm saying, what's Terry going to say today?
But anyway. But I mean, the good thing is you was early last week, so it makes up for it, doesn't it? So there you go.
Well, yeah, I know. I did too many. I forgot there was an England game going on tonight against Malta, and that's why the trains were so packed.
Of course, yeah, there is. That's right, England playing Malta. See, I'm not really bothered about that. So
No. I think the one against Brazil in 2 weeks' time. Is it Brazil? Sorry, the Dutch again for the women. That's going to be in a good game.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Lionesses games. Yeah, I just don't really. I'm not really into the England men's team anymore much. Morpheus says, "Who's been our best player so far?" Oh, that's quite an interesting question. Who's been our best player so far?
That's tough. But I'm going to say Vicky. It's so tough.
It is tough.
I'd actually put it. It's tough. But no, maybe not just Vicky, but I'd probably say Steph has been so consistent for us. Possibly Katie is up there as well. But, I mean, you could pick any of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite tough, isn't it? Because as we saw on Sunday, we had 6 different goal scorers and it's more of a team effort, it seems to be, rather than one or two individuals standing out. What it seems to be. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's been 4 or 5 players that are playing really well. Obviously, yeah, Katie McKay's been brilliant. Steph Catley. I mean, Andreas, who would you say has been our best player so far? It's tough, isn't it, to pick one?
Yeah, it's tough to say. Maybe it's Steph Catley because she was consistent in all her performances. And you can rely on her. She's doing her job always the same this season. And Yeah, I mean, Vicky had some highlights, but she was not in all matches in starting 11. So, Katie is not a right back. She's better on the left side. So she had her weak moments on the right side. So therefore, if I had to decide for the best player so far, I would say it's Steph because of her consistent performances.
Assists, goals, everything. Yeah,
she got a great goal as well the other week. Yeah, that's true. I think you're right. I don't think Katie McCabe is. She's not a natural right back, is she? There's no doubt. You know, she's very left-footed, and you know, it's difficult as a left-footed player to play right back. I mean, she's done okay there. She's not let us down. She's been decent, but you're never going to get the best out of Katie McCabe playing at right back, are you? You're never going to get the best out of her. And it's something that again Jonas needs to look at and work out how he's gonna play that. Because yes, we do only really have Noel Moritz as our only natural right back available because Laura's injured. So it's nice that Katie McCabe can play there, isn't it? And Noel can have a rest and stuff like that as well. But yeah, it is something that you know he needs to find a way to get more out of Katie McCabe in certain games. But yeah, she's been great. Not the only one. Wayne says there, McCabe so far I'm going with. Been very clutch recently, but Catley and Spina need to mention too. Yeah, I mean, Steph Catley, obviously, we've all mentioned Steph. She's like the absolute image of consistency, isn't she? She never goes below a 7 out of 10. She rarely goes above an 8, but she's always there every single game. You know what you're going to get from her. She's going to be consistent. She's going to do her job. She rarely makes mistakes, and she can offer a lot going forward, crossing the ball into the box, the odd goal here and there like she scored the other week. Kate McKay's been decent. She's got some fantastic goals, crucial goals. Aston Villa was a brilliant goal, crucial goal. The two against Bristol City won us the game. I agree with Stina as well. I mean, Stina's not been playing as many minutes on the pitch this season due to obviously Alessia coming in, but she scored in the last three games in a row. She's come on, got a goal. The goal the way she took her goal on Sunday was brilliant. She's doing it constantly every game now. And, you know, maybe having that competition there, knowing her place has been at risk in the team. She's come in and I think you saw that Alessia Russo can play in that wide position. She set up a great goal from a wide area and Stina can play for the middle and they can play together. And that's something that I think Jonas is going to have to find a way to do because Stina's too good to be sitting on the bench for 60 seconds.
Yeah, definitely.
Much too good for that. And, you know, he's got to try and find a way to get her in. A lot more, I think, personally. Yeah. But while we're winning games, I suppose that we'll be fine. Terry says, super generous. So it's not super gen though, is it? Really? I mean, she's done all right when she's played and we love her, but, you know, let's be real. I mean, Terry's gone there. She's made a big impact, hasn't she? A couple of great goals, important goals as well when she scored them. Really vital goals in both the games that she scored in. And, yeah, she looks an absolute class player, doesn't she? Just quality, absolute quality. So, yeah, she's been doing great as well. But, again, she's not playing enough minutes, is she, to say she's been our best player this season. She's made a massive impact when she has played, but she's not playing enough yet to say, oh, she's been our best player, I don't think, because she's on the bench too much. She's not on the pitch enough, is she? But, yeah, she's been brilliant. And there's been quite a few. And Kyra Cooney-Cross is looking as though she's going to be able to shout by the end of the season if she carries on what she did on Sunday, because that was outstanding, wasn't it?
Superb.
I mean, Sam, we've talked about the Leicester game, but, you know, obviously you wasn't with us. I mean, we went through every kind of emotion possible, didn't we, in that game? It was quite incredible, wasn't it? But what a second half. That was just mad.
Oh, where do you start? I mean, I was actually celebrating Diwali with my family, and I think I missed 20 minutes. I was following the crazy 4-4 draw between Chelsea and Man City. You didn't think it could get any crazier with that arguably one of the greatest games, not just this season, but in Premier League history. And then literally, I was fireworks going off around me on Diwali, and then I go home 20 minutes in, okay, we're still 0-0. I thought, oh no, then Vicky's in. She misses that chance, which goes wide. Could have squared it, probably should have squared it. And I think it was Lessie would have had a tap in. And then I can't remember, was it Lessie who would have had a tap in? But somebody would have had a tap in if she just squared it to her left. And then, yeah, and then what do you expect with our defense? Honestly, that first goal, why is Russo marking whoever's heading it on to Sam Tierney? I think, was it Sam Tierney who scored the first goal?
Yeah, Sam Tierney.
Yeah, who was marking the first? Why is Russo on her? And it's just such a poor goal to give away. It only had, he did the warning from Lotta clearing across a minute before that. And then it can go and see from that, can see from the corner. And then another cross into the box for the second. And oh, my, what is going on here? I was literally not chucking the remote at my wall, but I was almost on the brink of doing so. Honestly, I could not believe what I was seeing. Our defence, I hate to say it, but our defence, it looks like it's been on gardening leave all season. I don't want to sound like I'm being too harsh, but that's what it feels like to me. And then, well, who would have said, I don't know what it was, whatever he said on the half-time, whether it was he killed one or two flies or whatever. I don't know what Jonas does. He's a crazy, he's a charismatic and enigmatic fellow at the same time. Whatever was said at half-time, honestly, once Caitlin put a ball in and caused them, their defence to go AWOL in the second half, like, surely not. And then they've Russo unmarked, like she's onside. Even Russo was, Jonas was saying to the official, she's onside. And then we scored arguably one of the goals of the month again with that superb one ball. Look at that. Pass from Chloe, pass from Lessie, first time finish, bang, top corner from Kane. That was a thing of absolute beauty. And from then on, you just thought there's only one team that's going to win this. But how has this happened? What was said at half time? Why can't we start games like this? We can't afford to play like this against the likes of Chelsea and expect to score six against them from being 2-0 down, because you just know they're not like that. But it's good to, you could do it against Leicester, and it was a brilliant second half. And let's be honest, we could have had 10. We hit the woodwork a couple of times. Beth had a shot saved. We could have had 10 in that second half. It was absolutely crazy. And then the finish at 6-2. It was good to see Lina scoring as well. But Vicky was outstanding. The passes she picked out, the pass to Stina for the fifth goal, pass to Lina for the sixth, it was absolutely outstanding. And I don't know whether she'll be a permanent starter going forward. But yeah, for me, I think there was an article on the BBC Sport website saying, oh, she could be the next Kim. Oh, that's maybe a little bit of a stretch, but she's shown so far that she can definitely have what it takes to maybe take over Kim when Kim eventually retires. But that's a lot of big boots to fill. But yeah, no, we kind of have to get used to the fact that they're going to be putting us through the ringer this season.
Well, maybe those days might be over, because maybe that second half is going to, of everything clicked, and maybe this is the thing that they needed to find. They needed to find a way to make it work, and it worked. And maybe we can push on from here, and maybe we're going to start seeing. Maybe we can relax a little bit more in some of these games going forward. Let's hope so. It has been quite a stressful start to the season. There's no doubt about that. But I certainly enjoyed the second half on Sunday. As I'm sure we will.
It was mad
to see it all come together. And some of them goals were just, as you said, outstanding goals. Just brilliant. And you know what more do you want, really? What more can you want from your team than to see your team come back from adversity in that way and respond in that fashion and score those goals and play that well? It's just brilliant. So, but yeah, of course, it's only one game. It's only 3 points, and none of it's going to matter on Sunday when we've got a potentially difficult game away at Brighton. Now, of course, Brighton beat Man City last week away, didn't they? And they were a bit fortunate maybe to win that game. Man City missed 50 chances and could have scored another goal. But ultimately, they did what they had to do. They kept themselves in the game, scored a late goal and won. So, you know, that's a warning to us not to take them lightly, certainly. And I'm sure we won't, because, you know, we can't afford to take anybody lightly in this league. But, you know, coming off the back of that Leicester game, and, you know, we've had a full week off this week as well, no midweek games, and we've had a lot of time to prepare. It seems as though, as we've mentioned already, that there could be one or two injured players back in contention as well, which makes it even better, bigger squad, more options, even more options. And it is a game, again, you know, we should start favourites. You know, no disrespect to Brighton, they're a decent team. They're capable of good results, as we've seen. But, you know, we've got a decent record there over recent years. We tend to do well there. Stina does well there. She scored 4 goals, I think, in the last 2 seasons away at Brighton. So,
yeah, that's right.
Right. Her, but we'll see. I mean, Andres, what are you kind of looking forward to about this game? Obviously, I don't suppose we can expect as many goals as last week, can we? I suppose probably not.
It's another difficult task, and don't underestimate Brighton. They already have 7 points, like Leicester has, and. yeah, they won 1-0 away at Man City. So they kept a clean sheet against the top team. And of course, Man City versus Brighton was, if it would have ended 6-1 for City, it would be okay. When you see how much chances they had, how much they dominated Brighton. But this must be a warning for us. Brighton only needs one chance to score, and they can keep a clean sheet. We can't. For me, yeah. The task. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a good point. For
the first time good this point. Season. Yeah, but if we have to criticize one thing from the Leicester match, it's how we conceded these goals with bad defending. And especially the second goal was just a typical Manu Sinsberger goal. She was fixed on the line. The second header was in the 6 yards box. She was standing on the line and watching. This is I often say she's standing and watching what happens in the 6 yards. Oh, another goal. Oh,
God, yeah.
And this happens too often. And of course, it's a task for the whole team. But we concede too many goals, and it's the same pattern in nearly every match. Corners, crosses, we defend very bad, and we concede. So I don't think we'll have a clean sheet again as long as our defense is not settled. But the other hand, it's good that we have this warning from last week, and that we saw how dangerous Brighton can be. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the team will be concentrated, and everybody knows, every player knows that we will not get away every week with a 2-0 down, and then
let's speak it
in the second half. No problem. I think they know that this was an exceptional performance, and we have to be concentrated from the very beginning. I hope that we will be able to have a clean sheet. I don't think so, but this would be a big aim for me. And normally we should be able to score 2 or 3 goals or more, because we have the quality in midfield, in the attacking line. But the danger is City has this quality too, and they could have scored a lot of goals, and they didn't. So it will be a tough match, but fortunately it's not Sunday night. Sunday afternoon. Everything. Yeah, and when we look at the table, for the first time, the league table looks better. So let's hope it looks as good after the match.
Much better.
It's the Manchester derby on the weekend, so this could help us. And maybe if everything goes as it should. We will say after Sunday, it's two teams competing for the title, and we are one of them.
Well, it's not one, and it's possible. It is possible that we could be top of the league should Chelsea lose, and they may do. Who knows? It's one of them difficult situations. But all we can do is just keep winning our games now. We had that bad start. It's gone now. It's in the past. We're winning. And we just need to keep doing that as long as we can. Just keep winning. And I think Brighton is going to be, a difficult game. Of course it is. It's away from home. They're on the back of a great result as well. And, they kept a clean sheet, which we haven't managed to do. So it's something that we need to... We know that's the part of the team we need to put right, and I'm sure we will. Dan's in the chat. He's gone 4-1 Arsenal. It's good that we all. Terry says, here we go.
Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, to be fair, Terry, we give you a lot of stick for your score predictions, but last week you were the closest one because I think you said 8-1 or something. And, you could have easily ended up.
You can go 10. I thought he was going to go 10-1
Sometimes. you know, sometimes we do, you know, we do, you know, we don't always take your scoreline seriously. And maybe we need to start taking it a bit more seriously. And, you know, you've gone 5-1 there. That's a reasonable sort of score. Look at recent results we've had away at Brighton in recent years. You know, 5-1 wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility. But I don't know. As I say every week, I'll be quite happy to take a 1-0 and get the job done and get the 3 points and move. Oh, you didn't give a score prediction, Andreas. What's your score prediction?
I just looked at the recent result from Brighton. They already played Chelsea, Man United and Man City. And so 7 points is a very good result for them. And they managed to score very 2 goals against Chelsea and 2 against Man United. This should be warning enough. But of course, I'm optimistic this week and I say we'll win 3-1. I'm not so optimistic to say 3-0, but we should be able to score 3 goals and this should be enough. So let's say 3-1 for us.
Well, that'll be 3-1. It'll be absolutely fine, wouldn't it? Terry says there, the only danger this Sunday is how much Jonas and the Dream Girls want a fresh Brighton buy. Well, I mean, we want to get the job done. We want to win the game first, don't we? That's what we want. We want to win the game first, and then anything up and over and above that. You know, it was like last week when we got it to 3-2. I think we all knew we'd won that game at that point because there's no way Leicester were coming back. And you know, after that, we can then relax and we can then play some great football, score some more goals, and let's get the job done against Brighton first. Not from 2-0 down. Hopefully, let's get ourselves in front and let's get the game won, and then maybe towards the end we can push on and get a few more goals and make it look a bit more comfortable. We've got there, Ikanda says, Brighton is a good team this season. The girls should be up for this task. I think, I'm sure we're going to be massive favourites to win the game, aren't we? Let's be honest. You know, it's Arsenal playing Brighton. Of course, we should win. But the league has changed in recent years, hasn't it? We see now much the smaller teams, if you like, have improved. As Andreas just said there, I didn't realise I wasn't paying too much attention to their results. But yeah, they scored 2 against Chelsea, you're right. And I didn't realise they scored 2 against Man United as well. So they've got goals in them, you know, and they can do it against a big team. So, yeah, we need to be wary of them. But, yeah, if we bring our A game to the game on Sunday, we should win. But let's see. I mean, Amar, what are you expecting them from Brighton? Because I think they're going to be a difficult team for us, aren't they? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to, you know, Terry's gone 5-1 and it may well end up 5-1. But it's not going to be an easy game, is it? We're going to have to work hard to get the win.
I think a lot of credit has to go down as well to their board as well. If you think they've really, I mean, since after sacking Ote Powell, the Yen Shui experiment didn't really work towards the back of last season. But I think it was a very tactically shrewd appointment in appointing Mel Phillips. And you can see the style of football they want to play. They want to become more difficult to beat. They'll not be this team that was pushovers and was struggling to avoid relegation and get beat 8-0 like they were in times last season. So a lot of credit has to go down to them. They've certainly looked to scoring a few goals. Elizabeth Turland is arguably their biggest threat. She's scoring a few goals this season, we've seen. Who else have got? We've got Katie Robinson, Lee Gyun-min, all these players that have WSL experience. You can forget, of course, Pauline Bremer, Vicky Lozada. These are not players that should be taken lightly. And they've made Brighton a better team and more difficult to beat. And as you say, they didn't win those games. They were very unlucky not to beat Manchester United. We've been switched on from set pieces. We know we are like if they cross us into our box. So we're going to definitely have to be switched on and play our best. Even though we almost doubled our entire season's goal tally against Leicester last week. And then we've never actually conceded an away goal to Brighton in 10 WSL meetings. The aggregate score is 36-2. So that goes to show he's been utterly dominant, but don't expect it to be so one-sided this time. And if they score a goal, yeah, I mean, last time, ironically, we kept a clean sheet. Was in a 4-0 win away at Brighton in May. So, I mean, it's all the stats are there for everyone to see. But I'm not confident again. Let's see. I mean, until Leah gets back, I'm still not convinced. I know Leah, Lot and Amanda is probably our best. If Leah's back and gets fit, maybe there's an argument to play her, but yeah, I will expect a difficult game. They will certainly not be pushovers, and we'll have to be our best to beat them. I think 3-1's a prediction. After last week, who knows? Maybe we can continue our averaging of 3.5-4 goals against them as we've had since they came in the WSL. So, yeah, why not? Let's go with the guy in the chat who said 4-1 this time. I think maybe, why not? After last week, they'll feel confident. So let's go 4-1, Arsenal.
Oh, wow. That is a bold prediction, 4-1. We're We'd love a bit of a 4-1. But yeah, I mean, I think with any game in a WSL, especially away from home, what you've got to do is you've got to earn the right, haven't you, to play your football. And last week we had to, we took a long time to do that, but it's going to be the same at Brighton, is it? We're going to have to go there. We're going to have to maybe show some patience in the early stages. We're going to have to, you know, earn the right to play our football. And I think if we do that, we won't have any problems because we have got much, much better players. But as we've seen, they've done well against the big teams who have got better players than them. So, you know, we can't assume we just need to turn up and win. We are going to have to play well. But the quality that we've got in the, certainly in the front end of our team, it should be too much for Brighton. It should be. If it all clicks half as well as it clicked against Leicester last week, you're not going to have too much to worry about, are we? But let's see what happens. But yeah, I mean, I think we'll win. I'm gonna be bold, actually. I'm gonna predict a clean sheet. Our first clean sheet of the season. I know Brighton have scored some goals. You know, they've got two against Chelsea, two against Man United. They beat Man City, but I'm going to predict that we're going to keep a clean sheet this week because I think what they would have done, I'm sure this week at training, they'd have been working on that defensive side of the team. But they must have done. They've got to have done because we've conceded too many soft goals. So I think we're going to be strong defensively. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet. And obviously, we've got goals in our team at the other end. I'm actually going to go for... what should I go for? I'm
going to go 4-0. 4-0. I'm going to keep with the average away from home being 20-0 away from home. Nice.
But I do think that it's not going to be an easy 4-0. I think we're going to have to work hard to get ourselves in the game, play our football, and then I think our quality will shine through. Terry says, go for 5. I'm not going to go for 5. Greg gone 3-0. Yeah, I mean, 3-0, 4-0. I just think at the minute, the confidence that we'll get from last week, I think we'll, you know, roll over into this game. And, you know, I think we'll, in the end, I think we'll win fairly comfortably. But we're going to have to work for it. Obviously, we are. And I'm sure we will. And I'm looking forward to the game because, you know, especially when the international break's on for the men, it's kind of no Premier League football. It's kind of a bit boring. So you look forward to the women's game even more, don't you? You look forward to them even more because there's nothing else going on. So you think, yes, we've got a game Sunday we can look forward to. It'd be great. Ikando says there, reach a clean sheet.
That's what it is.
Oh, no, it is. I mean, I just fancy we're going to keep a clean sheet eventually, aren't we? We're going to keep one at some point. We will. And I just think after last week, because of how badly we defended in that first half, Surely we've done lots of work this week on the defensive shape of the team and our defence set pieces. So we'll get to see the rewards of that on Sunday. We'll have a clean sheet, we'll get a few goals and it'll be happy days and we'll love it. So but yeah, it seems quite bold with the way the season's gone, but you know, it's gonna happen sooner or later, isn't it? And why not against Brighton? As Amar says, they've never scored against us at their ground. But then again, Leicester hadn't either till last week and they managed to score too. So we can put that with a pinch of salt, maybe. But no, I'm going to go 4-0 and I'm going to say we're going to get a clean sheet and it's going to be happy days. And of course, you know, after Brighton, we've got another Continental Cup game this week. It's another away game. And I don't know whether or not we're staying down on the South Coast because we're playing Brighton on Sunday and then we've got another
yeah, that's right.
South that's right. So it's not two right. trips to the same part of the world in a few days. So yeah, Southampton, obviously they're a decent championship team. You know, they're doing quite well. So again, though, for me, this is an opportunity, isn't it, to rotate that squad. You know, we did rotate in the last game when we played Bristol City, and you know we played well in that game. In spells, we had a little shaky spell, but got the win. And I think this one away from home, yes, it won't be easy, but I think this is another opportunity, isn't it, to rotate that squad and give players more game time that they've made, like Steiner again, for example, starting the game, maybe Beth, maybe Viv, get them game time. Yeah. I mean, you think that's what's going to happen, Andreas? Do you think he's going to make quite a lot of changes to the sort of WSL team and, you know, maybe give Viv a start, maybe?
I think this is too early. She got a knock or something in the warm-up at Leicester, so she was not available. And I don't know whether she's available this weekend. I don't think she will get a start, but hopefully she will be able to come in the second half and get some minutes. I think Beth could get a start against Southampton, and of course Jonas will rotate, because it's there's a gap between the Championship and the WSL. So normally we should have an easy win, and I think this is a match where even I expect us to keep a clean sheet against Southampton. But we will rotate, but nevertheless we have to win. Because we must finish first in the group, and the Spurs match will decide a lot. So we can't accept to lose any points. But it will be a chance for maybe Catherine Kuhl will get another start in this match. Yeah. She did very good against Bristol. One more big talent we have in our squad. We forgot her when we discussed our strong midfield. She was very good against Bristol. She seems to be more settled in the team, and as I said last week, she seems to be physically stronger than last season. Chloe could start, maybe Lena Hurtig will get a start again against Southampton. It's a chance to rotate, and we have enough quality. Even if we rotate on 6 or 7 positions, we have enough quality to beat Southampton, and our prediction. It will be 3-0, because we will score early in the first half, and then and we will make more changes, and it's just enough to win. And the goals will have the next match. It's, I think, after the Southampton match, it's international break, or
West Ham.
We have West Ham at home then. But they will already have the next match in their mind. So let's see, 3-0, 4-0. I think I expect a decent win without any problems.
You should be, shouldn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, you know, we made a bit of heavy work against Bristol City in the last game in the end, but Bristol City are a WSL club, and, you know, they just got promoted and stuff like that. Southampton, of course, are still the Championship club, and, you know, they're not at that sort of level, are they? They won't be full-time, will they, Southampton? They're probably part-time, are they, still?
I think they are full-time, man. I think they are, because they're affiliated with the men's team, but that doesn't mean that they're full time.
Not necessarily.
Funny enough, their manager is an Arsenal legend as well. Marianne Spacey.
Oh, is that where she's gone?
Yes.
Oh,
I didn't know that until recently. Marianne Spacey Gale, of course, Arsenal women legend as well.
Wow, okay. It's great. Mahindra in the chat. Are you doing good to see you? I hope you're well. Obviously we expect a reasonably comfortable victory, don't we?
Just to clarify, Richard, they are, according to Wikipedia, sorry, not the best source, but after they were promoted to the FA Women's Championship, they've turned professional and are now playing all their home games at the home of the men's team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's great to hear that they've gone professional. It's, you know, it's really good. Not that that makes an awful lot of difference either way. You know, they are the Championship club, and, you know, we should have far too much quality to worry too much about that game. But I look on these games as the opportunity for some, you know, Catherine, of course, that's a great one to mention, because we did forget her before. She's not played too much game time, has she, in the team this season? So it'd be a good opportunity for her again to get some minutes. I didn't know Viv had got an injury, actually. That's a bit of a worry, isn't it, when she's just coming back from the big injury. So let's hope she's okay to get some minutes as well. Emma, what are you expecting in from Southampton? Because obviously, again, we're going to start even bigger favourites, aren't we, to go down there and get the victory. And, you know, we need to keep winning these games to make sure that we get through the group stage, don't we?
Yeah, and as I said, they she'll know Arsenal inside out from having been a legend, and they'll probably watch their games when maybe not watch them as much when Southampton are playing, but fourth in the Championship, winning 6 out of 10 games. Okay, I looked at their record, they scored 17 and conceded 11, but only 3 points off the top. So, and again, they can't take these teams lightly. And yes, our squad depth is great. We'll probably rest a few players after the Brighton game. Fingers crossed nobody gets injured. Beth may start again. Oh, McCommon as a sub after McCommon as a sub against Brighton, and then maybe start the game against Southampton. Who knows? So, but yeah, you'd expect us to dominate and hopefully be a bit more clinical, make give the youngsters a bit of a run out, as with Catherine Cool and one or two others, maybe Noah Maritz and one or two others you've experienced. But yeah, give the lesser used players a bit more of a chance. So yeah, I mean, you can't take anything for lighted. But yeah, again, I think we should be too strong for them. And yeah, say 3-0 or on a clean sheet would be nice, of course. But yeah, hopefully we can show our quality and continue our good start to this to the defence of the Conti Cup. And yeah, fingers crossed, like they did with the Bristol City game, it'll be televised somewhere. So let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be on. Will it not be on the FA Player? Because the last one was, wasn't it?
Yeah, right? No, the last one was on Arsenal.com, so it remains to be seen.
Oh, yeah, that's because we were at home, wasn't it? I don't know.
Away games might be different, so I don't know.
It might be, actually. Yeah, that's the point. We'll have to see. I mean, obviously, hopefully the game will be available to watch somewhere, because it'd be nice to see it. But yeah, I mean, luckily, it's, you know, we would, as we said this before, we'd rather be playing Champions League group games at the moment than playing Continental Cup group games. But, you know, we are where we are. And let's hope that, you know, we just keep winning these games, get through, and then we can go on and hopefully enjoy a good defence of our trophy that's sitting nice and proudly shining in our trophy cabinet, which is nice. Really? So, but we want to add to it this season, don't we? We don't just want to win that. We want to win more as well. But, you know, we need to keep winning games. Winning games breeds confidence, and winning games is what it's all about, whatever competition it is. And I've never really agreed with one competition's less important than another competition.
No.
If there's a trophy at stake, as Arsenal Football Club, whether it's the men's team, whether it's the women's team, we should take them all seriously and try and win them and try and do as best as we can. You're not going to win them all, probably not. You know, it's very rare that you do. We've done it before, but these days it's difficult to win them all. Even Chelsea, as good as they are, don't win them all, do they? So, you know, but we need to believe that we can win every competition that we're in. We need to go out with that mindset and try and do it. And that's what I want to see us do. At the moment, the group stage looks fairly okay for us, doesn't it? We shouldn't be tested. Oh yes, Tottenham in the group, which could be obviously going to be a difficult game against Tottenham. We know that, but overall, we should have enough to see this group through and go through and move on. And hopefully, I want to see us win. I want to see us win as many things as possible, as many games as possible, as many trophies as possible. And you know, I don't take any of them lightly. I don't look at it and think, oh well, that's not important. They're all important. Every single game is important. Every single competition is important. So. I mean, I'm sure there'll be changes to the team. I wouldn't be surprised, up to 11 changes to the team from Brighton to Southampton. I wouldn't be surprised at all, because with players that we've got now fit, the number of players available, the quality that we've got, let's do it. Let's get them in the team. Let's get minutes in people's legs, and let's go for it. So I wouldn't be surprised if I would say maybe 8 or 9, almost definitely, and maybe more. And yeah, I think we'll win. I'm going to go for another clean sheet, actually. I'm in the mood for clean sheets tonight. I don't know what I've been inspired by.
It's good, the more the merrier. That's good, mate.
Another clean sheet. So, I think this will be comfortable. I think we might win this game quite easily, if I'm honest. I think we've got the quality there. You know, we won't disrespect Southampton. Of course we won't, but I think we'll go. I think we'll win. I'm going to go 5-0. I think we'll win fairly comfortably against them. Even with the changes that we're going to make, you know, it's still going to be a very, very strong Arsenal team, isn't it? Even if we made 11 changes. So it's going to be a good week, I think. Terry says, we'll win everything this season. Can't see anyone staying with us. We're getting better and better each game. Yeah, you're right. We are. If we take away the first half against Leicester, I would agree we're getting better and better. That first half wasn't great, was it? But anyway, that's behind us now. We got through that, didn't we, just about. Loki says, still going to Champions League. Yeah, good evening, my friend. Hope you are well. Dan's got 3-0 against Southampton.
I'm going the same. 3-0,
yes. Yeah, I think it'll be comfortable. Yeah, we're not too concerned with Southampton, are we? You know, fair play to them. You know, I'm sure they'll give it a go. It's a big game for them. One of the highlights, you know, their players playing against Arsenal will be brilliant for them, won't it? I'm sure they'll enjoy it. But we should have far too much quality and win that game fairly easily. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a good week for Arsenal. Two clean sheets, two good wins, in two different competitions, lots of different goal scorers, lots of different players getting minutes in the team as well. So it's going to be a good week. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully it will go the way we're expecting. And we'll be sitting here next Friday looking back on two great wins. And who knows, we could be top of the league as well if Chelsea drop points, which would be nice. They're due to drop some points, aren't they, sooner or later. So,
Liverpool, we never know. Let's see.
Now Emma's kind of been confirmed as the American coach before it wasn't confirmed. Been confirmed. We'll have to see what effect that has on the team because it may well have a negative.
They'll be even more inspired to send her out on a high, man.
Yeah, they may be. They may do. We don't. It's difficult to know exactly how they're going to respond. So we'll see. Gunnar Dad says, "Yeah, we will fill Southampton's ground up." That's right. We've got the best away support in the country, haven't we? So
we have the best support in the country, honestly.
Yeah, we're going to take a lot of fans down to Southampton, aren't we? So it's going to be good, as we will at Brighton as well on Sunday. So yeah, it's all good stuff. But we're looking forward to that, aren't we? It's going to be good. So now, of course, we are moving on to the final part of the show, the highlight of the week. The thing where I've got my pad and my paper ready because it is time for this. So, Emma, you said you've got a good question for us this week. We are excited to find out what it is. I've got my pen here. Where is it? There's my pen. I've got my bit of paper and we are ready for you.
Okay, so I thought I'd go a little bit easy on you guys after the last couple of questions. I can't even remember what they were now. I thought that was a bit difficult. So last week, Arsenal played away at Leicester, the King Power Stadium. This week, they're playing against Brighton and Crawley at the Broadfield Stadium. As the crow flies, what is the distance in miles between both stadiums?
That's a bit unfair on Andreas, isn't it?
Oh, come on, you can still have a... I know, he's not, but fair enough. I don't know why, but I thought it was a different type of question.
If you was to ask me the distance in miles between Stuttgart and, I don't know, Cologne, I wouldn't have a clue.
Between Munich and Stuttgart, yeah.
Okay, well, we still have a guess, but I mean, that's the thought that I thought because it's the two away games, and I thought it's just a different type.
It's a good question. I just think it's a little bit unfair on Andreas to know.
Fair enough.
For the mile. I mean, he's probably travelled enough, actually, to probably know. Leicester to London is probably what? It's probably less than 100 miles, and it's about 90 miles, maybe.
Okay, well, if you want, you'll give him a year. I mean, it's about. The time distance from it's about, let's say, from Leicester to Brighton, it's about 3 hours. So
that'll be about there, and then London to Brighton. London to Brighton's about what's that?
Okay. What's the shortest distance in miles from both grounds? So what's the distance as the crow flies?
Oh, as the crow flies, not on the roads.
Well,
Logan's got 140. 143 miles, which is, I think that's not a bad guess. I was thinking about 130-ish miles.
You're thinking 130, yeah.
Round about that, I was thinking, yeah.
Or 150 at least. He said 3 hours, so it must
approximately be 3 hours. Approximately.
Yeah. Must be at least.
Dan's gone 170, he's gone even more. Wow, okay.
Well, he's going
170. I'm just thinking of it. I think London to Leicester is about 90 miles, and then London to Brighton's about, I don't know, 40 miles, isn't it? Something like that. So that would be 130 miles in total. But that would be on the road going around the M25 and whatever.
Around
the M25.
The quickest route is 2.5 hours, not three. Sorry, 2.5.
That's driving at the speed limit, though, isn't it? You probably do it in an hour and a half if you put your foot
that's
down.
If you don't stop. Yeah, that's if you don't stop.
Yeah, you go a bit faster.
What car you use.
And what car, exactly, yeah, what car you've got, yeah. You've got a German car, you'll be fine, you'll do it in 20 minutes. one of them big German cars, they like BMWs, whatever they are, Audis and stuff like that.
As long as it's not one of them old Trabants.
It's German car.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think they stopped making Trabants ages ago, didn't they? Yeah.
I'll stick with the 150 miles.
You think 150 miles? Okay, fair enough. What about you, Richard? You think 130? Is that your final answer?
I'm going 130, yeah.
Okay, well, you weren't far off, but in fact, Loki was the closest. The actual answer is 144 miles.
144.
So well done, Andres. You're only 6 miles out.
Well, so, oh, Loki said 143. Wow, what a great guess.
One mile out.
I think he took a shortcut around a little side street.
I wouldn't ask any more mild questions. I know maybe you haven't travelled as much, but I thought because you've been to the UK a few times, you might have heard. You've never been to Leicester?
No.
Never been to Leicester, Andy? Oh, okay. No. Fair enough.
Been there.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No, still, you weren't far off. 150 was a good guess. You're only about 6 miles out, so there you go.
Yeah.
Squig went 137. Yeah, Loki had a second guess of 127. You see, you should have stopped with your first guess, Loki, because your first guess was really good.
144, yeah. So it's 144 miles between both stadiums.
Wow, okay, that's cool. Terry says Stuttgart to Cologne ground is 182 miles. I don't know.
How does he know that?
Is that true, Stuttgart to Cologne? Do we know?
Stuttgart to Cologne? Let's have a look, yeah.
182 miles, Terry's gone. He's sounding quite confident with that.
It's not 182 miles. God, where did he get that from? That's like, my goodness me, that's how long's that?
Is it closer than that then, Stuttgart? I don't even know. I'm not quite.
Cologne's in the east, isn't it? Cologne's in the east, isn't it?
No, it's in the west.
Oh, sorry, west. Sorry, I'm thinking of
west and Stuttgart is south.
Sorry, I was thinking of Leipzig and places like that.
No.
Stuttgart to Cologne. Oh, if you want to,
Terry said he just looked it up. Well, there you go. He must be right then if he looked it up. I don't know if he looked it up.
Stuttgart to Cologne is 230 miles.
I think he means stadium to stadium.
Oh, yeah, but still, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, 144 miles. So you went far out, but well done, Andres. You're only six out. So well done.
No, that was a good guess, actually. Loki says, my house to Highbury is 95.4 miles. Is it really? Well, there you go.
95.4, that's precise.
That is precise, isn't it? Have you measured it with one of them measuring wheels? Is that what you've done? You've walked 95.4 miles running wheels just to get the distance.
I live 12 miles from the Emirates, so I'm not far.
12 miles, wow. That's
11 miles, 11 and a bit, 11 miles.
Wow.
Less than a half marathon.
35 minutes.
How many miles do you live, Andreas, from the Emirates, do you think?
Shall we have a look?
let's have a look. Yeah, Andreas to the Emirates. How many miles is that? That's got to be a few
Emirates
hundred,
Stadium it? 2. What's the, so we just say Stuttgart. Are you in the city of Stuttgart?
No, it's about 50 kilometers away from Stuttgart.
What's the name of the town?
Pforzheim. Pforz.
Sorry. Start again.
Pforz. P for Peter.
Pforz.
Pforzheim.
Pforzheim.
Wow, I've never even heard of that place. That's amazing.
Well, if you did that, he lives. Well, let's work. This is actually quite interesting. It would take 10 hours for him to get there. The approximate distance is 546 miles.
Okay.
Wow.
There you go. 546 miles in 10 hours.
Wow.
Driving over water.
Yeah, you'd have to drive. Oh, that's if you drove. Obviously, you wouldn't drive. However, if you took public transport, it would take you 13 hours. Mm. If you walked, it would take you a week.
Well, you better set off now, Andreas, because I think we've got a game at the Emirates in a couple of weeks. So you need to get going.
I'm just going by Google. I'm just in the yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, nine hours. I mean, that's like going from here to the northern coast of Scotland. So yeah,
it's a long way. It is a long way. Terry says my house to the Emirates is 47 miles, but takes about 4.5 hours to get there. Right. Yeah, well. Terry lives in Herne Bay or somewhere, isn't it? Is it Herne Bay you live, Terry? I think it's Herne Bay, isn't it?
Where do you live, Richard? Is it Newcastle upon Tyne?
Yeah.
No, that takes about 5 hours.
I'm going to see. Yeah, from my house to the Emirates, right? I've just checked it here. It is. Where are we?
5 hours. Probably 5 hours.
It's 4 hours 14 minutes.
4 hours
14, yeah. And oh, it's 247 miles. 247.
Wow. 247.
Gunnar Dan says 285 miles from my house to the Emirates. Well, whereabouts do you live then, Dan? That's even further than me. I'm 247 miles away. I thought I was far away. Terry says on the dock of Home Bay. Yeah, on the dock of Home Bay.
Yeah, that's Kent. That's not that bad. That's Kent.
Yeah, but it's right out and I see nice, it. Got, I'm all the way in and go all the way up and round. Yeah, it probably will take hours actually from there.
Come to Stanmore. Well, we'll go together. Come to Stanmore. We'll go there. Come to Stanmore. It's a lovely town.
Yeah, well, no, Stanmore is nice. Yeah. Look at this. Gunnar Dan lives in Cornwall, Newquay.
Cornwall.
Wow. What a place to live as well, by the way.
Well, that is actually further away from London than Newcastle is. Yeah, that's crazy.
Newquay will be. Well, yeah, it will be, yeah. Absolutely. Cornwall's literally like the end of the earth, isn't it? It's a lovely place, though, Cornwall. It's actually beautiful. What a place to live. What an absolutely brilliant place to live, especially in the summer. I mean, it must be busy, obviously, with two or something. But what a place to live. Absolutely fantastic. £12.50. Yeah, of course, you're £12.50. What car you've got, Terry, it? If you've got an electric car, you'll be fine. Get an electric car, you'll be laughing.
£12.50.
Oh, when you could drive and park, took me 80 minutes. We used to be able to park. I mean, years ago, when I used to live in Essex, it used to take me about 25 minutes to drive to Highbury from my house. And I used to park right near the ground as well. And then basically they started clamping cars right, left and centre. I made it a nightmare. In the end, I used to get the train because it was easier in the end.
You're right, clamping cars and all that. But for Andreas, rather than make him travel the 9 hours, because he's royalty, we'd give him a private jet. So it wouldn't even take him that long.
A private jet, yeah, that would be fine. I'm sure we can chip in. If everyone chipped in on the channel, we can get Andreas a private jet to the next game. And I can get a helicopter to land right on the pitch at the Emirates just before the game. That would be good.
Rolling out the red carpet.
Yeah. Helicopter on the pitch, that's what you want.
True story. Many years ago, I went to Emirates Stadium for the first time. This must have been in like the 06-07 season. I remember they announced over the PA system that someone had flown all the way over from Sydney to watch Arsenal. So
this
goes to show.
Arsenal are one of the biggest clubs in the world. We've got fans We've got fans everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of women's fans travel over from Australia, don't they? Lots of women, you know, because obviously we've got Australian girls in the team and stuff. Arsenal is. And I've always said this, right? And you might have experienced it yourself. No matter where you go in the world, whatever country you're in, if you've got an Arsenal top on, someone will always speak to you and say, Arsenal, whatever country you are, because everybody knows who Arsenal are. You can wear a Man City shirt. I mean, now maybe people would know. But if you had a Man City shirt on 10 years ago, anywhere in the world, no one would know where it was. If it were Arsenal, what comes out? Now, they'll probably know. But with Arsenal, anywhere you go, everybody knows straight away.
Yeah,
and because Arsenal are one of the most famous clubs ever in the world.
Of course. Yeah.
Loki says Cambridge bus 25. Oh, okay, you're just north of Cambridge, are you? Okay,
that's not too bad.
Yeah, Cambridge is a nice place.
He would have known Essex, right? Anyway, he knows. Yeah.
Oh no, yeah. Wayne is 115 miles away, but. Look at this. Look, we've got people here. These are regular people on our show. And everybody lives all over the place. We're all over the country.
I'm sorry, guys. I should have started the chat. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Gunnar Dan says, landing at Luton.
Luton.
You wouldn't land him at Luton. God, no one wants to go to Luton, do they? Don't go there. We wouldn't treat him that badly.
Or is it Heathrow? And then, Heathrow.
Heathrow, the place, yeah. And then get a helicopter from Heathrow it'll take about 5 minutes from Heathrow to the end.
They already know him at the hotel. What's it called? The Hotel One. So they'll be arranging it as well.
I'm sure it'll land on the roof of the hotel, Motel One. The helicopter land on the roof there, and it goes. That'd be brilliant.
He's royalty.
Absolutely.
Next weekend for the West Ham game, I'm back in London.
I would have loved. You see, I would have loved to go to see you at the West Ham game, but I'm going to India on 7 p.m. on Sunday, and I have to be at the airport whilst the game's going on. So, I'm going to join you, unfortunately. But no, I hope you have a good time.
Oh, it'll be good. It'll definitely be good. But no, don't go to Luton. Terry says, before Arsenal was stolen from Woolwich, it would have taken me 10 minutes to walk. I mean, I'm sure it was before your time now, Terry, when they were in Woolwich. So I don't think it's affected you too much, has it? Because it was 100 and, well, it was 110 years ago, wasn't it, that we moved out of Woolwich.
That's right.
Quite a long time ago. Wayne says there, I went to Arsenal game last season at Villa Park. We won 4-2. And it was a crazy game. Yeah. We were losing, weren't we? And we got late goals, didn't we? And that was a crazy game as well, actually. Yeah, it was a crazy game. Loki says, used to live Essex Road, 1 mile away. Wow. Well, move out of the city. That's what you got to do. You know, it's no good living in a city, is it, really? Greg says, I live in Hove, only 2 hours away.
That's not far from where I used to live.
Oh, did you used to live down that way? Did you? Brighton?
Yeah, I used to live in Norwich. My dad has a flat near the old Wimbledon Stadium. So, yeah.
Oh, wow, really? Fantastic. Yeah. I love Brighton. I think Brighton's a great place.
Wimbledon Stadium is now an athletics ground, but even from the Amex, it's not that
far. Yeah, no, I remember when they played at Wimbledon Stadium. I went to the old Goldstone Ground years and years ago.
In the first division.
That was falling to bits back then, so
I don't know what that is now, but yes, but I'm guessing it's like...
Probably
like,
housing. It's either going to be a housing estate or it'll be some retail park, won't it?
That's right.
Tends to be what the old football grounds, that was familiar, pretty much all of them. Dan says, I had a Swiss guy stop me and wanted to take a picture of my Xhaka shirt. Wow, did he? If he was Swiss, they love Xhaka, don't they? But that's what I mean, anywhere in the world, you wear an Arsenal shirt, you're going to get stopped. People are going to speak to you.
Absolutely.
I've never been anywhere without an Arsenal shirt that someone hasn't stopped me and spoke to me about. There's a lot more exotic places I've not been to, but I'm sure it'll be the case anywhere you went. Anywhere in Africa, it was, you know, everybody loves Arsenal in Africa. So, you know, you'll get royalty treatment if you're in Africa in Arsenal shirt, I would have thought, because they just love Arsenal there. If you want to be popular in Switzerland, wear a Xhaka shirt, definitely, because they'll love you there, won't they? Because he's their best player, isn't he? So, in fact, Granit Xhaka just got the record number of caps for Switzerland, didn't he? So, congratulations to him. Yeah, he just broke the record for the most caps for Switzerland. So, yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's good actually to find out where people are from, actually, isn't it? How far away people live to the Emirates. So your question, Amal, turned out to lead to a lot more.
That's good. It's good to know how far people live, I guess. Yeah, I know it was a difficult one.
So not many people live that close to the Emirates, really, do you? None of us, really. Well, you're one of the closest to Amal, really, aren't you?
On the train, it takes about 40 minutes. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, you'll be the closest there. Everyone will look at
me. Yeah.
No one will live closer than you do, so that's pretty cool, isn't it? I certainly don't miss living in London, but I do when the games are on, because I'm thinking it'd be so easy. Like, if I live where I used to live, to get to the Emirates would take me literally like 20 minutes. It'd be brilliant, but I don't miss it any other time, if I'm honest. But anyway, so that is Friday night. It is the weekend. The weekend can officially start because we have got through another Arsenal Women's Show. It's been good tonight. We've looked back on that great win at Leicester. Wow, what a game that was. What a second half in particular. We've looked into the big game this week, of course, Sunday, the Brighton game, and next Thursday away at Southampton in the Continental Cup. So we'll have those two games to look back on next week. And, of course, we'll have the preview of the West Ham game, won't we, which we just sort of briefly spoke about there, but... Are you around next Friday then, Andreas? Are you flying or whatever?
I'm flying Friday evening, so I won't be available for the show.
It'll be
another video link on your videos and stuff.
I'm looking forward to those video links.
We don't mind that anyway. That works.
We love that.
We do love that, yeah. So we'll have a show next week. Obviously, Andreas will be doing some videos for us for that one, which will be good. So we obviously look back on those games, look ahead to the West Ham games. That's all going to be good. So I'll be back on Sunday, of course, for the game. Brighton against Arsenal. That kicks off at 2 o'clock, doesn't it? I'll probably go like 1:45. So we'll get filled up to that one. That's going to be good. So please join me for that if you're around. If you can't actually be at the game, because it's going to be good. And hopefully Arsenal will get a good win. And of course, international breaks are no good because we don't really like them, do we? But anyway... at least we've got a good game on Sunday to enjoy. That's the main thing, isn't it? So it's not all lost anymore. Yeah, you see lots of people on social media saying, oh, I hate international breaks, there's no football on. Well, go and watch the women on Sunday, because why not? Great.
you'll enjoy it. So it's better than watching England men play, definitely. So get involved in that and come and join us on the show because it'll be really good. Terry says, great show, Richard, Andreas, and 8 o'clock Amar.
Well done. Yeah, fair enough. Well, you could start calling me late o'clock Amar as well, to be fair. Yeah,
we were a bit late starting to, anyway. Terry says, hit that like button before you. Hit that like button, guys. And don't forget, I say, we are very close to 2,000 subscribers as well. So I don't know if we can get there tonight or if we've managed to get there. Let me just have a quick check. We wasn't before. We was about 7 or 8 away, I think we are, which isn't many, is it? I'm sure we can find 6 or 7 people somewhere that can subscribe to get us to 2,000. What are we on? We are on 1,993, so we're 7 away. So come and join us on Sunday, and let's get over the line for 2,000, shall we? And Arsenal win, we get 2,000 subscribers on the channel, and it'll be a great day, won't it? So that's going to be good. So look forward to that. So anyway, that is all to come on Sunday. So join me then. Andreas, thank you very much for joining us again. Have you enjoyed the show tonight?
Yeah, of course. Great discussion, as always. And yeah, looking forward to the weekend, to hopefully a decent win. And then I hope to sit and be relaxed for the Manchester Derby. I think this will be very interesting. And hopefully we can all watch it relaxed.
As long as we've won, I don't really care. As long as we win our game, and then we, like you said, we can watch that and not care too much. Whereas obviously if we drop points, then we're going to be looking at that to be a draw potentially, so everyone else drop points, that's what we want. But let's just win our game, and then we, like you said, we can enjoy it, which I'm sure we will. Amar, as well, good to see you again. Have you enjoyed the show?
Yeah, as good as ever. Love doing it every week. It's good. It's always good when you win. Yeah, it's hopefully we'll beat Brighton. Might have to record the game as there's another significant event going on at the weekend, which involves my country. But we will try to work around it somehow. So I will not try to watch the game afterwards, after the cricket. Maybe don't mention the cricket. But anyway, it's the final of the World Cup as well. So it might be a bit tricky, but I'll try and watch it if I can, when I can. But hopefully the girls will win.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as we win, that's the main thing. Loki says, cheers, all good show as usual. No, thank you very much for joining us. Yeah. My friend, obviously, we know you're in Cambridge now. Dan says, we know where you live now, Andrea, so he's coming around for a beer. It's in Germany as well, isn't there? So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some good beers around
Andrea. Definitely, yeah.
So that'll be good. That'll be good. Yeah, it's a long way from Cornwall to Germany, though, Dan. So, you know, you got a long flight there. Terry says, come on, you Gunners. Let's get to 2,000. Yeah, let's get to 2,000. I say probably not tonight, but hopefully on Sunday when the game's on. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? The game's on, Steena scores, and then we get to 2,000 subscribers. What a happy day it'll be. And we can all celebrate, and it'll be good. So, yeah, thanks a lot for watching. Thanks, obviously, to Andreas and to Amar. Thanks to all you guys in the chat, as always. No Some problem. Great comments, as we like to see. I will see you on Sunday. Your weekend starts now, so enjoy whatever you're doing over the weekend. I will see you Sunday for the game, and it's going to be good. Come on, you Gunners. Come on, yeah, you Gunners. Let's do it. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like.
Bye. 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 Bye.